4028, verses 41 and 42. And it came to pass in every growing warm of the flock of those that came together first, that Jacob put the rods before the eyes of the flock in the gutters, that it might grow warm at the rods. And to the flock that came together later he did not set them. And those that came together later were Laban's, and those that came together first were Jacob's. And it came to pass in every growing worm of the flock of those that came together first, signifies the things that were spontaneous, that Jacob put the rods before the eyes of the flock in the gutters, that it might grow warm at the rods, signifies things called forth and conjoined out of proprial power. And to the flock that came together later he did not set them, signifies things that are compulsory. And those that came together later were Laban's, signifies that these things were left behind. And those that came together first were Jacob's, signifies that the spontaneous things, or those which were from his freedom, were conjoined. 4029. And it came to pass in every growing worm of the flock that came together first. That this signifies those things which were spontaneous is evident from the signification of growing warm as being the ardor of affection and its effect. Number 4018, 4019. From the signification of flock as being truth and good, concerning which also above, and from the signification of those that came together first as being things spontaneous, that those that came together first signify things spontaneous is evident from the connection of things in the internal sense, and also from the fact that whatever is from affection is spontaneous, especially that which is from the ardor of affection, which is signified by growing warm. For which reason their growing warm is spoken of twice in this verse, and also from the derivation of the word in the original language, as meaning conjunction by the inmost of love. Moreover, the conjunction of truth and good in the natural is here treated of, which is not effected except by what is spontaneous, that is, in freedom. This shows that in every growing warm of the flock of those that came together first, or in every growing warm of those of the flock that came together first, signifies truths and goods which are spontaneous or from freedom, or what is the same, those which are from the utmost affection. That everything which is of love or affection is free, see number 2870. Also that all conjunction of truth and good takes place in freedom, and that there is no conjunction in what is compulsory, number 2875, 3145, 3146, 3158. And therefore all reformation and regeneration are effected by means of freedom, number 1937, 1947, 2876 to 2881. If this could be effected by means of what is compulsory, all would be saved, number 2881. 4030. That Jacob put the rods before the eyes of the flock in the gutters, that it might grow warm at the rods. That this signifies things called forth and conjoined out of proprial power is evident from the signification of rods as being power, and when predicated of the Lord, proprial power, number 4013, 4015. And from the signification of putting them before the eyes of the flock in the gutters that it might grow warm, as being to call forth that they might be conjoined, as is evident from what has been said above concerning the signification of these words, number 4018 and elsewhere. 4031. And to the flock that came together later, he did not set them. That this signifies things that are compelled is evident from the signification of coming together later. That coming together first signifies that which is spontaneous or free has been shown above, number 4029. That coming together later signifies that which is compulsory or not free is thereby evident, and also from the connection of things in the internal sense, as well as from the fact that growing warm is not here spoken of as it is of those that came together first, for by growing warm is signified affection, and there the ardor of affection. Whatever is not from affection is from what is not spontaneous or not free, for everything spontaneous or free is of affection or love, number 2870. The same is evident also from the derivation of the expression in the original language as meaning deficiency, For when ardor of affection is deficient, then freedom ceases. And what is then done is said to be not free, and at last compulsory. That all the conjunction of truth and good is effected in freedom, or from what is spontaneous, and consequently all reformation and regeneration, may be seen from the passages cited above, number 4029, and consequently that in the absence of freedom, that is by compulsion, no conjunction and thus no regeneration can be effected. What freedom is and whence it is may be seen above number 2870 to 2893, where man's freedom is treated of. He who, while reasoning concerning the Lord's providence, man's salvation, and the damnation of many, is not aware that no conjunction of truth and good, or appropriation, and thus no regeneration, can be effected except in man's freedom, casts himself into mere shades, and consequently into grave errors. For he supposes that if the Lord wills, he can save everyone, and this by means innumerable, as by miracles, by the dead rising again, by immediate revelations, by the angels withholding men from evil and impelling them to good by an open strong force, and by means of many states, on being led into which a man performs repentance, and by many other means. But he does not know that all these means are compulsory, and that no man can possibly be reformed thereby. For whatever compels a man does not impart to him any affection, or if it is of such a nature as to do this, it allies itself with the affection of evil. For it appears to infuse something holy, and even does so. But when the man's state is changed, he returns to his former affections, namely evils and falsities. And then that holy thing conjoins itself with the evils and falsities, and becomes profane, and is then of such a nature as to lead into the most grievous hell of all. For the man first acknowledges and believes, and is also affected with what is holy, and then denies, and even holds it in aversion. That they who once acknowledge at heart, and afterwards deny, are those who profane, but not they who have not acknowledged at heart, may be seen above number 301 to 303, 571, 582, 593, 1001, 1008, 1010, 1059, 1327, 1328, 2051, 2426, 3398, 3399, 3402, 3898. For this reason, open miracles are not wrought at the present day, but miracles not open or not conspicuous, which are such as not to inspire a sense of holiness or take away man's freedom. And therefore the dead do not rise again, and man is not withheld from evils by immediate revelations or by angels, or moved to good by open force. Man's freedom is what the Lord works in, and by which he bends him. For all freedom is of his love or affection, and therefore of his will. Number 3158. If a man does not receive good and truth in freedom, it cannot be appropriated to him or become his. For that to which anyone is compelled is not his, but belongs to him who compels, because although it is done by him, he does not do it of himself. It sometimes appears as if man were compelled to good, as in temptations and spiritual combats, but that he has then a stronger freedom than at other times, may be seen above number 1937, 1947, 2881. It also appears as if man were compelled to good when he compels himself to it. But it is one thing to compel oneself and another to be compelled. When anyone compels himself, he does so from a freedom within. But to be compelled is not from freedom. 4033. And those that came together later were Laban's. And that by this is signified that these compulsory things were left behind, and that by those that came together first were Jacob's, is signified that things spontaneous, or those that are from freedom, were conjoined, is evident from what has been said just above, number 4029, 4031. By compulsory things are here signified those that were not conjoined, and that could not be conjoined, and by things spontaneous are signified those that had been conjoined, and also such as could be conjoined. That the latter also are meant is because things spontaneous are according to the affections and their quality. After the good signified by Laban and his flock had subserved the uses spoken of above, It is then separated. This separation is treated of in the following chapter. 4034, verse 43. And the man spread himself abroad exceedingly greatly, and he had many flocks, and maidservants and menservants, and camels and asses. And the man spread himself abroad exceedingly greatly signifies multiplication. And he had many flocks signifies the consequent interior goods and truths. And maidservants and menservants signifies the mediate goods and truths. And camels and asses signifies the truths of good, exterior and external. 4035. And the man spread himself abroad exceedingly greatly. That this signifies multiplication, namely of good and truth, is evident from the signification of spreading himself abroad as being to be multiplied, and that it was immeasurably is signified by exceeding greatly. 4036. And he had many flocks. That this signifies the consequent interior goods and truths is evident from the signification of flocks as being goods and truths, number 343, and that these are interior, see above number 2566, 3783. 4037. And maidservants and menservants. That this signifies the mediate goods and truths, that is, the natural goods and truths themselves, is evident from the signification of maidservants as being the affections of the natural, and therefore its goods. Number 1895, 2567, 3835, 3849. And from the signification of menservants as being scientifics, which are the truths of the natural man. Number 2567, 3019, 3020, 3409. 4038. And camels and asses. That this signifies the truths of good, exterior and external, is evident from the signification of camels as being general scientifics of the natural man. See number 3048, 3071, 3143, 3145. General scientifics are the lower or more exterior truths of good. And from the signification of asses as being still lower, that is, the external truths of natural good. See number 2781. What the interior goods and truths are, also the mediate ones, and likewise the exterior and external ones, may be seen from what was said above, number 4009. Speaking generally, there are in man three things, namely the corporeal, the natural, and the rational. The corporeal is the outermost, the natural is the intermediate, and the rational is the interior. So far as one of these reigns in man above another, he is said to be either corporeal or natural or rational. These three parts of man communicate in a wonderful manner, the corporeal with the natural, and the natural with the rational. When first born, man is merely corporeal, but within has the capacity of being perfected. Afterwards he becomes natural, and at last rational, from which it may be seen that there is communication of one part with another. The corporeal communicates with the natural by means of the senses, and does so in a distinct and separate manner by those which belong to the understanding, and by those which belong to the will. For both of these faculties must be perfected in man in order that he may become and may be a man. The senses of sight and hearing are especially those which perfect his intellectual faculty, and the other three senses have a special regard to the will. By means of these senses, man's corporeal communicates with his natural, which, as before said, is the middle part. For the things that enter by the senses place themselves in the natural as in a kind of receptacle, which is the memory. The delight, the pleasure, and the desire therein belong to the will, and are called natural goods, and the scientifics belong to the understanding, and are called natural truths. By means of the things just spoken of, man's natural communicates with his rational, which, as before said, is the interior part. Such things as elevate themselves from the natural toward the rational also place themselves in the rational as in a kind of receptacle, which is the interior memory, concerning which see above number 2469 to 2480. What is blessed and happy therein belongs to the will and is of rational good, and the interior mental views of things and perceptions belong to the understanding, and the things that belong to these are called rational truths. These three are what constitute man, and there are communications among the three. The external senses are the means by which man's corporeal communicates with his natural, and the interior senses are those by which man's natural communicates with his rational. And therefore those things in the natural that partake of the external senses which are proper to the body are those which are called the exterior and external truths of good, but those which partake of the internal senses which are proper to his spirit and which communicate with the rational are what are called interior goods and truths. Those which are between the two and partake of both are what are called mediate goods and truths. These three are in order from the interiors, and are what are signified in the internal sense by flocks and maidservants and menservants, and camels and asses. Continuation concerning the grand man, and concerning correspondence, here concerning the correspondence with the cerebrum and the cerebellum. 4039. The correspondence of the heart and lungs with the grand man, or heaven, was treated of at the end of the preceding chapter. Here the subject to be treated of is the correspondence of the cerebrum and the cerebellum, and of the medullas connected with them. But before entering upon this correspondence, some things must be premised concerning the form of the brain in general, whence it is, and what it represents. 4040. When the brain is denuded of the skull and the integuments that encompass it, there are seen therein wonderful circumvolutions and foldings, within which are situated the substances called cortical. From these run out fibers which constitute the medulla of the brain. These fibers proceed thence through the nerves into the body, and there perform functions in accordance with the orders and determinations of the brain. All these things are in exact accordance with the celestial form, for such a form is impressed by the Lord on the heavens, and thence on the things that exist in man, and especially on his cerebrum and cerebellum. 4041. The celestial form is amazing and quite surpasses all human intelligence, for it is far above the ideas of the forms that a man can possibly conceive of from worldly things, even with the aid of analysis. All the celestial societies are arranged in order in accordance with this form, and wonderful to say, there is a gyration according to these forms, of which angels and spirits are not sensible. This is like the daily movement of the earth round its axis, and its annual movement round the sun, which its inhabitants do not perceive. It has been shown me of what nature is this celestial form in the lowest sphere. It was like the form of the circumvolution seen in the human brains. This flow, that is, these gyrations, it was given me perceptibly to see, and this continually for several days. And in this way I was assured that the brain is formed in accordance with the form of the flow of heaven. But the interior things therein, which do not appear to the eye, are in accordance with the interior forms of heaven, which are quite incomprehensible. And I was told by the angels that from this it can be seen that man has been created according to the forms of the three heavens, and that in this way the image of heaven has been impressed upon him, so that man is a little heaven in the least form, and that this is the source of his correspondence with the heavens. 4042. Hence then it is that through man alone is there a descent from the heavens into the world, and an ascent from the world into the heavens. It is the brain in its interiors through which the descent and ascent is effected. For there are the very beginnings, or the first and the last ends, from which each and all of the things of the body flow forth and are derived. There also is the source of the thoughts of the understanding and of the affections of the will. 4043. The reason why the still more interior forms, which are also more universal, are, as before said, not comprehensible, is that when forms are mentioned, they carry with them the idea of space and also of time, and yet in the interiors, where heaven is, nothing is perceived by spaces and times, because these belong to nature, but by states and their variations and changes. But as the variations and changes cannot, as before said, be conceived by man without the aid of such things as are of form, and without such things as are of space and time, when yet these do not exist in the heavens, it may be seen how incomprehensible these things are, and also how unutterable. And as all human words, by means of which these things must be uttered and comprehended, involve natural things, they are inadequate to express them. In the heaven, such things are presented to view by means of variations of celestial light and celestial flame, which are from the Lord. And this in such and so great a fullness that thousands and thousands of perceptions could scarcely fall into anything that is perceptible by man. And yet the things that are taking place in the heavens are represented in the world of spirits by means or forms to which the forms seen in the world bear some resemblance. 4044. Representations are nothing but images of spiritual things in natural ones, and when the former are rightly represented in the latter, the two correspond. Yet the man who knows not what the spiritual is, but only the natural, is capable of thinking that such representations and derivative correspondences are impossible, for he might say to himself, "How can the spiritual act upon the material?" But if he will reflect upon the things taking place in himself every moment, he may be able to gain some idea of these matters, namely, how the will can act upon the muscles of the body and effect real actions, also how thought can act upon the organs of speech, moving the lungs, trachea, throat, tongue, and lips, and thus produce speech, and also how the affections can act on the face, and there present images of themselves, so that another often thereby knows what is being thought and felt. These examples may give some idea of what representations and correspondences are. As such things are now presented in man, and as there is nothing that can subsist from itself but only from some other, and this again from some other, and finally from the first, and this by a nexus of correspondences, they who enjoy some extension of judgment may draw the conclusion that there is a correspondence between man and heaven, and further between heaven and the Lord, who is the first. 4045. As there is such a correspondence, and as heaven is distinguished into many lesser heavens, and these into still lesser ones, and everywhere into societies, there are heavens that bear relation to the cerebrum and cerebellum in general. And in these heavens there are those who relate to the parts or members in the brains, and those who relate to the dura mater, to the pia mater, to the sinuses, and also to the corpora and the cava there, as the corpus callosum, the corpora striata, the lesser glands, the ventricles, the infundibulum, and so forth. So that the quality of those who relate to the one part or the other has been disclosed to me, as may be seen from what follows. 4046. There appeared a number of spirits at a middle distance above the head, who acted in common by a kind of beating of the heart. But it was, as it were, a reciprocal undulation downward and upward, with a kind of cold breathing on my forehead. From this I was able to conclude that they were of a middle sort, belonging both to the province of the heart and to that of the lungs, and also that they were not interior spirits. The same spirits afterwards presented a flaming light, gross but yet luminous, which first appeared under the left side of the chin, afterwards under the left eye, and then above the eye, but it was dim and yet flaming, not shining white. From these things I was enabled to know their quality, for lights indicate affections, also degrees of intelligence. When I afterwards applied my hand to the left side of the skull or head, I felt a pulsation under the palm, undulating in a similar manner downward and upward, from which indication I knew that they belonged to the brain. When I asked who they were not willing to speak. It was said by others that they do not willingly speak. Being at last compelled to speak, they said that if they did so, their quality would be disclosed. I perceived that they were of those who constitute the province of the dura mater, which is the general integument of the cerebrum and the cerebellum. It was then disclosed of what quality they were, for I was permitted to know this by speaking with them. They were, as before when they had lived as men, those who had thought nothing about spiritual and celestial things, nor had they spoken about them. Because they were such as to believe in nothing except that which is natural, and this because they had not been able to penetrate further, but yet had not confessed this unbelief. Nevertheless, like others, they had worshipped the divine, had said their prayers, and had been good citizens. There were afterwards others who also flowed into the heartbeat, but by an undulation not downward and upward, but crosswise, and others who flowed in not with a reciprocating action, but more continuously, and also others under whose action the beating jumped from one place to another. It was said that these had relation to the outer lamella of the dura mater, and that they were of those who had thought of spiritual and celestial things solely from such things as are objects of the external senses, not conceiving of interior things in any other manner. These were heard by me as of the female sex. They who reason concerning the things of heaven, or the spiritual things of faith and love, from outward things of sense, and therefore from what is worldly and earthly, in so far as they make them a one and confound them together, wend their way more and more outward, even to the outer skin of the head which they represent. Nevertheless, provided they have led a good life, these are within the grand man, although in its extremes or outermost parts. For every one is saved who is in the life of good from the affection of charity. 4047. There appeared others also above the head, whose common action in flowing above the head flowed crosswise from the front backward. And there appeared also others, whose in flowing action was from each temple toward the middle of the brain. It was perceived that these were those who belonged to the province of the pia mater, which is the second integument, more closely investing the cerebrum and the cerebellum, and communicating with those by the emission of threads. The quality of these I was permitted to know from their speech, for they spoke with me. They were, as they had been in the world, such as did not trust much to their own thought, and therefore did not determine themselves to any fixed and certain thought respecting holy things, but depended on the belief of others, not canvassing whether it was true. That this was their quality was also shown me by the influx of their perception into the Lord's Prayer when I was reading it. For the quality of all spirits and angels whatever may be known from the Lord's Prayer, and this by the influx of the ideas of their thought and of their affections into the contents of the prayer. From this was perceived the quality of these spirits, and furthermore that they could serve the angels as mediums, for there are intermediate spirits between the heavens through whom there is communication. For their ideas were not closed, but were readily opened, so that they suffered themselves to be acted upon, easily admitting and receiving influx. Moreover, they were modest and peaceful, and said that they were in heaven. 4048. There was one who spoke to me close to my head, and I perceived from the sound that he was in a state of tranquility, like that of a kind of peaceful sleep. He inquired about this and that, but with so much prudence that a waking person could not display more. I perceived that the interior angel spoke through him, and that he was in a state to perceive and bring forth what they said. I asked about that state and told him that he was in such a state. He replied that he speaks nothing but what is good and true, and that he takes notice whether there is anything else, and that if anything else inflows, he does not admit it or utter it. As regards his state, he said that it was peaceful, as was also given me to perceive by communication. I was told that such are they who relate to the sinuses or larger blood vessels in the brain, and that those who were like him relate to the longitudinal sinus, which is between the two hemispheres of the brain, and is there in a quiet state, however much the brain may be in tumult on both sides of it. 4049. There were some above the head, a little toward the front, who spoke with me, speaking pleasantly and inflowing quite gently. They were distinguished from others by the circumstance that they had a constant desire and longing to come into heaven. It was said that such are they who relate to the ventricles or larger cavities of the brain, and who belong to that province. The reason was also added, and that it is the nature of the better kind of lymph which is there to return into the brain, for which it has therefore such an endeavor. The brain is heaven, and this endeavor is that desire and longing. Such are the correspondences. 4050. A certain face was first seen by me above an azure window, but presently withdrew itself within. I then saw a little star near the region of the left eye, and afterward a number of ruddy little stars that sparkled with white. Afterwards I saw the walls of a house, but no roof, the walls being only on the left side. And lastly I saw, as it were, the starry heaven. As these things were seen in a place where there were evil ones, I supposed that some hideous sight would be presented to me. But the wall soon disappeared, together with the starry heaven, and then there appeared a well, out of which came forth, as it were, a bright white cloud or vapor, and something also seemed to be pumped up out of the well. I asked what these things signified and represented, and was told that it was a representation of the infundibulum in the brain, above which is the brain itself, which was signified by the starry heaven, and that what was next seen was that vessel signified by the well and called the infundibulum, and that the cloud or vapor arising from it was the lymph that passes through and is pumped out of it, and that this lymph is of two kinds, namely that mixed with the animal spirits, which is among the useful lymphs, and that mixed with the serosities, which is among the excrementitious lymphs. I was next shown the quality of those who belong to this province, but only those of the viler sort, whom I also saw running about hither and thither, applying themselves to those whom they saw, paying attention to everything, and reporting to others what they heard. And being prone to suspicions, impatient and restless, in close resemblance to the lymph which is therein, and is borne hither and thither, their reasonings being the fluids there which they represent. But these are of the middle sort. But those who have relation to the excrementitious lymphs are they who drag down spiritual truths to earthly things, and there defile them. As, for example, those who, when they hear anything about conjugal love, apply it to whoredoms and adulteries, and thus drag down the things of conjugal love to these, and the same with everything else. These appeared in front at some distance to the right. But those who are of the good sort are similar to those described just above in number 4049. 4051. There are societies which relate to that region in the brain which is called the isthmus, and there are also spirits who relate to the little knots of fibers in the brain of a glandular appearance, from which there flow forth fibers for various functions, which fibers act as a one in those beginnings or glandules, but diversely in their extremities. One society of spirits to whom such things correspond was brought before me, concerning which I may state that the spirits came in front and addressed me, saying that they were men. But I was permitted to reply that they were not men endowed with bodies, but were spirits, and thus also men, because everything of the spirit conspires to that which is of man, even to a form like a man endowed with a body, for the spirit is the internal man, and also because men are men from intelligence and wisdom, and not from form. And therefore good spirits and still more angels are men more than those who are in the body, because they are more in the light of wisdom. After this reply, they said that there were many in their society, and yet not one in it like another. But as it seemed to me impossible that in the other life there could be a society of those who were unlike, I conversed with them about it, and was at last instructed that though they were unlike, they were nevertheless consociated in respect to their end, which to them was one. They said further that their nature was such that each one acted and spoke in a manner unlike that of any other, and yet they were alike in will and thought. This they also illustrated by an example. When any one in the society says of an angel that he is the least in heaven, and another says that he is greatest, and a third that he is neither least nor greatest, and this with great variety, their thoughts nevertheless act as a one, because the one who desires to be least is the greatest, and is relatively the greatest for this reason. And yet there is neither least nor greatest, because they do not think of preeminence, and it is the same with everything else. Thus they are consociated in first principles, but act diversely in the extreme or outermost things. They applied themselves to my ear and said that they were good spirits, and that such was their manner of speaking. It was said of them that it is not known whence they come, and that they are of the wandering societies. 4052. Moreover, such is the correspondence of the brain with the grand man, that they who are in the first principles or beginnings of good have relation to those things in the brain which are the beginnings, and are called the glands or cortical substances. Whereas they who are in the first principles of truth relate to those things in the brains that flow out from these beginnings and are called fibers. And yet with this difference, that those who correspond to the right side of the brain are those who are in the will of good and thereby in the will of truth, whereas those who correspond to the left side of the brain are those who are in the understanding of good and truth and thereby in the affection of them. This is because those in heaven who are at the Lord's right hand are those who are in good from the will, whereas those who are at his left hand are those who are in good from the understanding. The former are those who are called the celestial, and the latter those who are called the spiritual. 4053. Hitherto no one has known that there are such correspondences, and I am well aware that men will marvel when they hear of them. And this because they do not know what the internal man is and what the external, and that the internal man is in the spiritual world and the external in the natural, and that it is the internal man that lives within the external and that flows into it and directs it. And yet from this fact, as well as from what has been adduced above in number 4044, it is possible to know that there is an influx and that there is a correspondence. That such is the case is most fully known in the other life, and also that what is natural is nothing else than a representation of the spiritual things from which it comes forth and subsists, and that the representation by the natural is precisely in accordance with its correspondence. 4054. The brain, like heaven, is in the sphere of ends which are uses, for whatever flows in from the Lord is an end looking to the salvation of the human race. This end is that which reigns in heaven, and thereby reigns likewise in the brain. For the brain, which is where the mind is, looks to ends in the body, in order that the body may subserve the soul, so that the soul may be happy to eternity. But there are societies that have no end or purpose of use, except to be among friends, male and female, and to have pleasures there, thus seeking their own gratification only, and making much of themselves exclusively, whether at home or publicly, it being all for the same end. Of such spirits there are this day more societies than anyone could believe. As soon as they approach, their sphere begins to work and extinguishes in others the affections of truth and good, and when these have been extinguished, then these spirits are in the pleasures of their friendship. These are the obstructions of the brain and induced on its stupidity. Many societies of such spirits have been with me, and their presence was perceived by a dullness, sluggishness, and loss of affection, and I have sometimes spoken with them. They are pests and banes, although in the civic life of this world they had appeared good, delightful, witty, and also talented, for they know the proprieties of society, and how to insinuate themselves thereby, especially into friendships. What it is to be a friend to good, or what the friendship of good is, they neither know nor desire to know. A sad lot awaits them, for at last they live in squalor, and in such stupidity that scarcely any human apprehension remains. For it is the end that makes the man, and such as is the end, such is the man. Consequently, such is his human after death. 4055. The subject of the grand man and of correspondence will be continued at the end of the following chapter. End of the third part or volume of the original Latin work.